Lion Nation, welcome to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System, your home for all things Lion sports on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Welcome to this week's episode of Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System. I'm Damon Sundy. Thanks for joining us today. Our guests include Lady Lion basketball coach Jeff Dow, men's basketball coach David Kiefer, and head softball coach Rick Freeman. All this coming your way next on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System. When we return, Tyler sits down with Lady Lion coach Jeff Dow.
Now available on the Odyssey app. KSLU 90.9, The Lion.
University Donuts is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics in the Lion community. University Donuts offers breakfast and lunch options weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and weekends from 6:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Located less than 1 mile from campus at 1215 West University Avenue, University Donuts is available by phone at area code 985-542-1588 or online at facebook.com/universitydonuts. University Donuts, proud to support your Southeastern Lions. Lion up!
Hi, I'm Nancy Landry.
No matter what part of our great state you call home, Louisiana's elections are an important part of who we are. In 2026, closed party primaries will change how some of those elections happen, so you'll want to know what to do. Keeping your registration current ensures you'll get the right party-based ballot. Remember, this change only applies to certain offices.
To learn more, visit govote.com or download the GoVote app.
Paid for by the Louisiana Secretary of State's office.
Piggly Wiggly is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics. Piggly Wiggly is located in Hammond and Independence and has been helping to bring home the bacon for millions of American families for over 100 years. Piggly Wiggly offers a variety of items for the holiday season. Located at 18150 US 190 and 345 West Railroad Avenue in Independence, Piggly Wiggly is available by phone at area code 985-345-7729. Piggly Wiggly, proud supporters of Southeastern Athletics on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Lion up!
You're listening to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System. I'm here with head coach Jeff Dow. And coach, talk about that big game against UNO. You guys had one of the best halves of basketball you had in the first half, but then the third quarter happened, right? And this has happened a couple times. What are you guys seeing on film in that third quarter specifically?
Well, you're right. And if you look at our last three home games, Tyler, an 11-point lead against Memphis, 11-point lead versus SFA, 16-point lead at halftime. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm talking about halftime leads against New Orleans. It starts with just kind of a collapse on the defensive end, if you will. And if I'm not mistaken, all three of those games, we've gone into the fourth quarter with either a one-point lead or down by one. So you had a double-digit lead, and it's gone. I stress this all the time. And you want, of course, you want to make shots. Don't turn it over on the offensive end and that kind of thing. But the thing we've been trying to stress all season long is, look, you can survive, you know, a bad quarter offensively. You have a bad offensive quarter, but somehow, man, we got to limit the damage to 13 points allowed, not 25. You know, whatever the number might have been, and so in other words, like, hey, if we get outscored 13-8, we get outscored 13-8. It's not great, but it's far better than giving up 20-plus points.
And you still
points.
Have a cushion for the first half.
Exactly, and you still have a cushion. You still go into a decent lead in the fourth quarter. And that, again, unfortunately, I think, as we talked about off-air before we got started, I know some of it is youth. I'm not trying to make excuses. Said it all along and said it for a while. If you really look at our rotation, which you'd call it your top eight players, if you will, only two of those have any kind of Division I experience, you know, in terms of actual playing time, and Aaliyah Collins and Aaron McKenzie. And even Aaron last year for us as a freshman at UIW was a 12, 14 minutes a game player and probably like mm-hmm. our ninth or 10th man. So not, you know, all of a sudden she's thrown into a role where arguably she's our third best player, you know, or and most important player. And it's an elevated role, and I get it. So I think for some of them, just the newness of everything, every time that something happens, more often than not, it's a first time experience mm-hmm. and just some of the mistakes that have been made, what have you. Now, certainly not the third quarter collapses. That's unfortunately became a recurring theme, like I said, in those three straight home games. But, I'm always going to say it starts with the defensive end and just giving up some baskets that we quite frankly didn't give up, you know, in the first half. And now, unfortunately, you know, you obviously do have to bounce back. We got to be a little bit more resilient. I'm concerned at times that we have, as I describe it, the look of, uh-oh, here we go again. And there's, as simple as it sounds, Tyler, there's no other way to get over it than just get it done and find a way to get a win. And as a coach, you can try to give them a pep talk and you know, try to instill confidence and everything you can do. You can sub, you can change defenses, you know, what have you, but you've got to find a way to get it done. And again, like I said, had we just been better on the defensive end, we don't get to that point of kind of mm-hmm. the craziness of the end of the game.
And you talked about Erin McKenzie, the type of player she is. She may not always affect the scoreboard, but she's affecting the game in other ways. But in this game, she had 16 points at half, ended with a double-double. Just talk about how she's elevated her game from maybe, obviously, you saw her as a freshman when right. you coached her last year, to now here in Hammond.
Well, and she's had to adjust. Really, quite frankly, her role, her position, which is unique. You know, her freshman year at UIW, she was more of a 2-3. She was a wing. Mm-hmm. For us, you know, some of it, quite frankly, you know, is out of necessity. You know, that is we've had a choice. I mean, she's had to play a lot of four, sometimes even the five, you know, where she might be the tallest kid we have on the court, which means we're probably surrounding her with four guards. So she's had to adjust to that. Obviously, as I said earlier, a much more pronounced or significant role than what she had a year ago. So it's been exciting to see her, you know, have those stretches, have those games. I think that's at least her second double-double. I know she had one at Houston Christian as well. Mm-hmm. So that's encouraging. I think for Erin, there's a lot of stuff that we run through her offensively where some of our backdoor sets, like she's kind of the trigger person, if you will, that's going to make that key pass or key decision. Plus, we're trying to get her, you know, finishing around the rim or getting her shot opportunities and mix in some threes here or there as well. So, you know, exciting to see, obviously, just for the remainder of the season for her, but also going ahead that you know, what she's capable of doing.
And I will look forward to Lake Charles. You guys travel to play Coach Gazzardo and the Cal girls. And a lot of teams, if they go down 17 to right. nothing at the start, they'll close their eyes, they'll get down. But you guys didn't. You played through it.
Yep.
You got back into it. Just talk about, and that's a hostile environment, too.
It is. Again, I get it. I obviously, I know how sports works. You know, is one of our boosters, a huge supporter of our program and all things Southeastern Louisiana, you know, text me after the game and said, you know, Jeff, you got down 19. I'm aware. He goes, but from that point on, you know, it was a 58-55 game. Like, you know, obviously you can't just ignore that you were down 19, you know, yeah. type thing. But as you said, and I've complimented our team on this multiple times. I go all the way back to the Arkansas game, I think third game of the year, where we dug ourselves in a hole, but we responded and lose by single digits, didn't let it get away from us. But and we even UIW is another example. I think we were down 16 a couple of weeks ago. Next thing you know, we're down one. So there is some, there's obviously a competitive nature about us. We're not giving up by any means. You know, you referenced the third quarters of those three games, the Memphis and SFA and New Orleans. Well, yeah, we talked about it at halftime. Said, all right, ladies, that's kind of been our Achilles heel. Like, let's respond. Hey, we outscore them 17-12, you know, in the third mm-hmm. quarter. It's a step forward, you know, and then the second half was 31-31. Again, I trust me, I know at the end of the day it goes down as a loss. I'm well aware. But it the challenge for us is, guys, we got to put together four quarters, you know. And the other day, generally speaking, you know, the last three quarters were pretty solid, you know, against McNeese. I think, obviously, I haven't seen everybody in the league up close and personal, but arguably the most talented team. Of course, they've got a lot of experienced players. They've got depth that you know, most people don't have, that are juniors and seniors, you know, so that speaks volumes about, you know, like I said, how good of a team they are. Obviously well coached as well, too. So still took some positives away from it. I thought we did a nice job with the matchup zone, or maybe as well as we played it all season long, and did a better job making some adjustments there. So, you know, trying to obviously find the positives in that, like I said, and there certainly still were. Mia Ramos, you know, arguably the best game of her young career as a freshman. Yeah. 16 points off the bench. That was encouraging. Comes up with some steals as well. Leahy Azuri, 16 points. Gets to the free throw line 10 times. So still some positives that came away from that.
That was literally the next thing I had was Mia Ramos. Yeah. How good of a game she had. And this season, obviously, she hasn't knocked down a lot of the shots she's taken, but she hasn't lacked confidence in taking open looks that are also good looks. But it's good to finally see her knock down some of those, which you know she could.
Yeah, she needed that. In fact, you know, as we're doing the interview right now, she's in the gym getting shots up, you know, on her own with a gun. And you know, I've tried to encourage her in the last couple of weeks, like, look, I understand they're not going down. But it's hard to fault or be critical of a kid that, look, she's taking shots within the flow of the offense. They're good looks. She, you know, her feet are set. It's in rhythm. And, you know, obviously we talk a lot about shot selection with all of our players. But if it's a shot that makes sense for you and your skill set, well, then you got to take it. I mean, and it's kind of like the old Murphy's Law. If Mia doesn't take that shot, there's a good chance that whatever shot we end up with in the course of that possession probably won't be as good as the one that she turned down, if that makes sense. But so happy to see her have the success, you know, that she had the other day. You know, again, I know she keeps working on it. She puts as much extra time in the gym as anybody we have. And so, again, happy to see those go down for her.
And obviously you talked about earlier the look. You talk about when you're down and out. Yep. But something I've noticed about this team, and I guess you kind of have to be if you're in this situation, there's a lot of smiles, they're still high-fiving each other. They're still trying to get behind each other. It's obviously tough when you're losing so many games, but they're not. It doesn't seem like they're out of it by any means as far as mental-wise.
Yeah, and I appreciate you saying that. And actually, ironically, you know, Coach Kiefer, that was the first thing he said to me after the game, you know, the other day at McNeese, and, you know, our locker rooms were adjacent to each other, and he said, hey, I know you wanted to win and you wanted to be a closer score because you know, he was sitting right behind our bench, and he's like, look, they were very positive. They were connected. They were engaged. Like, they knew what was going on offensively and defensively because you didn't have anybody check out, you know, so to speak, regardless of the score or how they were playing, or if they weren't playing, they were engaged. And as a coach, again, that might be the single best thing you can hear. You know, obviously, as a head coach, I'm locked in with what's going on in the court, and not to say that I'm not oblivious to, or say that I am oblivious to what's going on behind me, but I could hear him, you know, and I could hear him cheering. I said, regardless of the margin, and so it was good. You want those six players, in our case, on the bench to be every bit as focused and engaged as the five that are on the court. So I'm telling you, over the course of a long season, I know there's not a stat for that, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But it will take you a long ways. And just that, as simple as a care factor, a pride factor, it will, you know, it trickles into practice, and then obviously trickles down into what happens on a Thursday night or a Saturday afternoon. And you can steal a game here or there just simply from what we just described. And so that's, again, I'm encouraged by, regardless of the overall record, conference record, some just crushing defeats, you know, in the final seconds of Memphis and obviously New Orleans and double overtime to Houston Christian, that we're continuing to compete and stay positive and stay connected.
And there's not a lot of people on this planet that could come into a situation like they did at the start of the year and keep that mindset. So seeing that is from a broadcaster's perspective is really cool. But I know from a coach's perspective, you've got to be excited about that.
I am, and again, obviously with a lot of young players and you know, potentially a lot of returning players as well. But again, still a lot of basketball to be played, and you know, kind of the message that we had after the game the other day at McNeese is, all right, ladies, you know, I said, look, we got to find a way to get back to Lake Charles in March, where, of course, where the conference tournament is. And, you know, we're looking up. Let's call it like it is. We are looking up in the standings, and we can't rely on anybody else to lose games, you know, to help us out. We got to find a way to start winning games. We got to stack some wins. And again, I always kind of joke that there is no better example than the guy you're looking at if you just get to the conference tournament as to what might happen. Obviously, the year that we won it at UIW in 2022, we were a 5 seed, but we made it, you know, and then we win 4 games in 4 days. And but, you know, you got to get there. And again, obviously, I think it would just given the, you know, the fact that the roster is entirely new, it would just be a significant step as we attempt to, you know, as we're in the process of building this program.
And so you talk about the rest of the season. It's a long one, but you look forward to probably your longest road trip of the season, yeah, going down to the southern part of Texas. And it's obviously you never want to leave home, but does it feel at least a little bit refreshing to get on the road and try to go into someone else's place and just to get away from it all and go, yep, on the road and kind of get a bonding moment maybe?
It does. Obviously, right now we're not in school yet. We haven't started the spring semester, so maybe they're not distracted, if you will, by, you know, midterms or papers that are due or whatever the case may be. But and you're right. You know, a lot of times when you go on the road, it might just be us. There might not be, you know, we have some Texas kid, so I'm sure we'll have a handful of, you know, family members and fans at each of those games. But yes, you don't have the roar of the crowd, if you will, you know, when you're making plays. But again, going back to what we talked about, that's where that bench enthusiasm is huge, you know. And again, we talk a lot about is say, look, it's easy to cheer and be positive when things are going well. But can you still be that way when the opponent's on a 6-0 run or whatever the case may be? And hopefully we can. I think we will. We'll continue to have that spirit. It's a good group of players, good group of young women that, you know, they get along well. The chemistry's good. We got to get over that hurdle. You know, like I said, as cliche as it may sound, 40 minutes of basketball, not 20, not 30, but 40. And especially on the defensive end. I think maybe I kind of underestimated how big of a challenge that would be on the defensive end. And again, I've always, not to say, I care about offense too, but I've always tried to, with our teams, try to hang our hat, if you will, on the defensive end, that we're going to be a tough team to score on. And, well, the experience helps, you know, and we had some longer teams in terms of what we had at UIW, maybe a little bit more length and athleticism. So we've kind of had to tweak some things here or there about how we're going to defend certain actions or how much man, how much zone, what have you. But it's been a process. You know, we obviously spent a lot of time in film, probably every bit as much on ourselves, if not more, than what we do on our opponents. It's a tremendous teaching tool, and we've seen some improvements. You know, I've seen some players that have gotten better in specific areas that we've asked them to. You know, I've alluded to Leahy, you know, shooting 10 free throws the other day, and you know, we're always encouraging her, like, look, you're, as I jokingly tell her sometimes, I think you give the opponent too much credit, you know, in terms of when you catch it on the perimeter, just rip and go and get to the rim, or you'll score or you'll draw a foul. Like, that has to be your mindset. And I think sometimes she almost, as I say, talks herself out of it, you know, and like I said, gives the opponent too much credit. So for her to go shoot 10 free throws, which again, you know, much credit to Ayla and her staff and her team, against a program that I think year in and year out plays the best half-court man-to-man defense of anybody in the league. So that's a good sign. You know, that shows we're, in her case, obviously trending in the right direction.
Well, Coach, good luck as you go on the road this week. As a long road trip, I'm sure that you guys will get a little bit of a break on the way there. But good luck, and we're hoping for a win.
I appreciate it.
All right, so we're going to be right back. We are listening to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
Hampton and Hammond is a proud supporter of Lion Athletics and the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Hampton and Hammond is located 3 miles from Southeastern Louisiana University at 401 Weston Oaks Drive. The Hampton and Hammond offers 81 rooms and features Wi-Fi, a fitness center, an outdoor pool, and hot breakfast options. More information on Hampton and Hammond is available at area code 985-419-2188. The Hampton and Hammond, proud supporter of Lion Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Rainbow Daiquiris is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Rainbow Daiquiris has been serving in the Hammond area since 1984. Located at 14384 West Thomas Street in Hammond, Rainbow Daiquiris offers a variety of daiquiris and beer, plus pool tables with late hours. Rainbow Daiquiris, proud supporters of Lion Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Let's get back to the action. This is Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. I'm here with head softball coach Rick Freeman. And coach, first off, want to congratulate you guys on the great season you guys had last year, where another conference championship and another regional final. This team, success is starting to become synonymous with Lady Lion softball.
Well, it's an honor to be here today, and I appreciate you recognizing just the hard work and some of the milestones that have been put in place and laid down over the last 10 years here. And the last, 4 years have been extremely special with the high level wins and putting our team on a national stage. And you've done a phenomenal job behind the scenes. And I always love to hear from the fans when you're on the mic and able to add some extra to game day. So I appreciate your skill set and talent as well.
Well, I appreciate that, Coach. It's been a fun ride because I feel like I've been here from almost the start for you. This is going to be my 8th season calling games, so it's really cool. But looking forward to the new season. Starts soon, and you've got 8 of your 9 from your starting lineup return last year. You've got 2 rotation starters coming back, but you also add 2 of the best players in program history are coming back to Southeastern, and a lot of great transfers. Just talk about this roster and how it's looking to start the year.
Well, the roster's deep in some areas, pitching staff and outfield. As I told Kimler a few days ago, those two positions are extremely in a good position with just depth, mindset, softball IQ, the skill set of the players, their ability to have experience at a high level and in postseason games, the honors and awards that they've received as well. Our middles are intact, and I believe we'll have one of the best infields in the country, and defenses as well, because the outfield can go get it and take hits away, and the infielders are extremely athletic and can make the routine play as well as the ESPN play, and they communicate well and move well, so we're encouraged. And I also told Kimler the other day that, Sid Snyder is probably in the best shape she's ever been in her life, and she's come off a good year as a JC transfer going into her senior year. But a lot of arms are new in the circle, and I think that'll be different for our opponents to try and get acclimated to that and used to what we're going to throw at them. But yes, Kaylin Watson and Sarah Blanchard does return, and obviously that puts a smile on my face.
Yeah, and it's awesome to see because they're just star power. They're two of the best. You got one of the best leadoff hitters in program history, and then you've got one of, a great pitcher, player of the year caliber pitcher in Sarah Blanchard. But she comes into that rotation with Macy LaRue and Hallie Burns. Those are 3 Friday night arms that you're going to get for an entire weekend. Just talk about the depth of just that starting rotation.
Sure, and I think those very well can give different looks and give us a chance when we run them out there. And Celia Lampkin has definitely improved after her freshman year, and she had a good year as a freshman, with limited innings. And then Tyler Oob coming over from Liberty, who had super regional experience as a program that she's coming from, a local in-stater, that she's going to help us big time. I like her moxie. And then Bree Clark out of Florida, freshman, who we think can –
you know, start some games as a youngster and give us a chance. And then Catherine Moose Thiessen, 6'2", out of Canada, is extremely athletic for her size and going to help us out a little bit offensively, but she's going to be able to do some things in a circle as well. So that's four other people separate from the four you listed. There are eight in our staff. It's one of the largest staffs that we've had in my 10 going on 11 years of being here. So we just about got figured out, you know, starter, mid relief, closer type thing, and how we're going to do it. But the schedule's a gauntlet, and it opens up that way in Clearwater. And obviously, we're putting them in Austin against the Longhorns and Norman against the Sooners. And, you know, there's four top 10 ranked opponents and three top five opponents. And Kimmler confirmed that that's never been done before in program history. But this team is built on taking on that task.
And, Coach, you talked about the schedule, and I guess we'll talk about that now. It's almost nomadic, the start of the year, where you guys are going to be on the road. You've got, I think it's one home game against Louisiana Tech to begin the year. Just talk about, you know, the difficulty of that schedule, but it's also a challenge that you kind of have to step up to.
Well, you know, we had a hard time of getting home games for whatever reason. You know, there's different reasons of why, but at the same time, we want to play a 56-game schedule, and we just got to learn how to travel on a bus and live out of a hotel for a large part of our season. And there's two or three bad spots, you know, in our schedule where we're playing seven games in 5 days or nine games in 6 days. And you kind of just don't do that as a softball program. But we want to play a full schedule. We want to play some of the best teams in the country. And if they're going to agree to certain terms and it kind of fits, then we're going to kind of make it work. And then some other unique things, like we're playing UTA the night before a three-game conference series. So Thursday game in Texas and then the three-game series, conference series. It's not very common at all, but in order to get games in while we're there, UTA was gracious enough to say that they'd host us. So there's not necessarily a rhyme or reason. It's just we want to play. We want to give our players opportunity. The more opportunities they have, the more battle-tested they become, and then the more opportunity they have to receive postseason honors with the numbers they're putting up and a lot of coaches and voters across the country to be able to vote upon our team. And we always want to position ourselves to be a top 40 RPI program. For some reason, if we drop the ball not winning the conference tournament, we can maybe still get in from an RPI standpoint. So that's the goal, to become a two-bid league. And I think this year's schedule puts us in that position. Now, we got to do our part, but there are some other teams at the top. I believe the top of the conference is going to be much stronger than it's been in the past. So that's going to be a gauntlet in itself. But the number one thing out of everything that's been discussed is, can we stay healthy? And that's normally a thing with any coach on any team, unless their depth is just ridiculous. But our depth is good, but we can't survive certain injuries at certain positions. So.
Yeah. And that you talked about how difficult the schedule is going to be, but you have a veteran return. You have a lot of returners. If there's anybody that's going to be tasked with that kind of tough schedule, it's going to be the veterans who have gotten not only conference championship experience, but NCAA postseason experience 2 years in a row.
Well, you know, losing, I think it was 12 starters off the year before, and only having Chloe McGee and Maria Detillier at the same position last year, going into Baton Rouge opening weekend, you know, for their tournament. We dropped the first two games, and, you know, everybody's kind of like, what's going on? But we regrouped, and that's what good teams do. We came back and beat the same two teams the next day and gave LSU a run, and I think lost an extra innings on Sunday. But we walked out of opening weekend with pretty much a whole new team, 15 new players and a new pitching staff. I think we only had one returning arm, and gave them a run, and I just said, I told my wife walking out to the bus, I said, we're going to be okay. And so to see now looking back, I mean, to touch 50 wins and as a mid-major in these days, as every game is hard to win now, I believe you just can't put a schedule together to where it creates that. It's every game is just really hard, other than the exception of a couple, but it's just really hard to win games. And so you got to do a lot of things right. I mean, your operations person, your scouting reports, keeping them healthy, your athletic trainers, your nutrition, what hotel you staying at, you know, and is the bus driver going to get us there on time? Like, all of that stuff flows to give yourself a chance to win, along with our development, which I take pride in. getting an average player, seeing their upside, developing their skill set, and them going out in a tough environment and then being successful on a national stage. That's what really gets me going, getting someone that maybe didn't have many offers, they didn't have any stars next to their name, and you're able to, you know, make a regional final the last 2 years with a special misfit type group that when you hear their stories, it really makes it exciting. And I think last year was a movie. And if somebody Absolutely. Gets word of that, and when you really look back all the way from our team retreat in August, late August, early September, and how we start there and then the finish, walking off in Baton Rouge, state rival school, who we lost to quite a few times in the last innings or in the seventh. I can't, you know, count how many times. That was painful. Well, a lot of players here and alumni, they all feel that, and I feel that. And so you go out and you give your best and win a crowd over and able to compete regional final once again, especially after the year before of taking off, knocking out Clemson and facing the Tide in the regional finals. Man, an employee in Hammond America, that is extremely exciting, you know, because that was the vision when I came here, is just to do what's never been done before. And we've accomplished that, and I say that very humbly.
Coach, talk about, you've got a good group of, and every year it seems, you've got four-year starters. Talk about what that means to your program, the buy-in, when in college athletics, that's not a normal thing anymore.
Well, I think we work a whole lot on team culture, and we work a whole lot on self-improvement. And because we do that, we get more buy-in into our softball side and our system. I always say a team can't find our identity if the individual player can't find theirs. Mm-hmm. So we start with the individual, which then allows our team to find the team identity. And you want to find it sooner than later. Yes, you want to peak late, right? Rather than peaking early, we always talk about let's be Miss April or Miss May, not Miss February or Miss March, you know, because a lot of players across the country are going to do that in the opening weekend tournaments with the new uniform and the new tournament they're going to. That's all exciting. But when the dust settles and the lineup starts to get solidified around March 1, and then you get into conference play and there's a grind with these three-game series, that then it becomes tough. That's when I want our team to rise up, and that's what they've been able to do the last 4 or 5 years here, and it really turns it into something that's special.
Well, Coach, thank you for coming in. Coach Freeman, head coach of the Lady Lions softball team, back-to-back conference champions, looking forward to maybe another one this year. Coach, thank you for coming in.
Tyler, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely. So we're going to be back. Right quick, we're going to talk to head coach David Kiefer in just a second here on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
Chena Hammond is a proud supporter of Lion Athletics and the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Chena is located in downtown Hammond at 123 South Kate Street, less than a mile from the SLU campus. Chena serves locally sourced Italian comfort foods made with house-cured meats, fresh produce, and handmade pasta. More information on Chena is available on their website at cenahammond.com. Chena Hammond, proud supporters of Lion Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
There's a place where veteran stories, the fabric of our nation's past, serve the future. Now your experiences can be an invaluable resource, a treasure piece of an ever-growing collection. Share your memories with us at the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where the experiences of U.S. military veterans are preserved. You'll help inform the next generation of students, scholars, researchers, and veterans, too. To submit your stories, photographs, and other military documents, visit loc.gov/vets today.
You're listening to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. I'm here joined with head coach David Kiefer and Isaiah Gaines of the men's basketball team, talking the past week as some big games. I traveled to Lake Charles and then a big home game against New Orleans. Both of those losses, coach, but I really felt like, and in both of those games, you really came down to the end where you fought. I thought defensively, you guys, the effort and intensity, obviously there were some blowbys at McNeese, and they've got some great athletes. But I thought you guys fought well from the defensive end.
Yeah, for sure. I think you go back to that game, especially the way we started. We want to start the game, talking about punching them in the mouth. They're you know, real big on starting fast and kind of being really disruptive. And people go in there so tentative and scared a lot of times. And I thought, credit to our guys, you know, just going out there and kind of punching them in the mouth. Obviously, as the game went along, it didn't go the way we wanted to. But, you know, if you look at the teams that have been over there, there's been some 30 and 40 and 50-point losses over at that place. And, you know, even the last couple of years when we went over there, it's been ugly for our team. So,
yeah,
I saw a lot of good things from our team. Defensively, especially, I thought we made everything really tough. You know, give a lot of credit to the little guard, Archie. You know, he kind of put them on his back because other guys were really struggling. We did a great job with Garcia, with Larry Johnson. I thought our bigs battled. But, you know, Archie was a problem. I think he just felt like he made every shot he took, but and everything was contested too. But really proud of our guys for the effort over there. Obviously, when I come out on the win and coming back here, you know, UNO has got a huge basketball team, big, you know, long, athletic, made shots, you know. But I'm talking about three games in a row. I think we missed 35 free throws, 36 free throws. So that can't be the case. We want to win games, especially in the road. We're coming up here with two big games in the road, so we got to be toughness. I think free throws and rebounding come down to just focus and toughness, and we got to be better in that. You know, we're doing a lot of good things, but can't shoot ourselves in the foot. You can't miss 14 free throws against UNO, and that's the ball game when you lose at the buzzer.
Yeah, and I feel as if, and obviously this is the way the conference is, every night you're going to get the best night, but you really have, for a lot of these teams, gotten their best look a lot of the time, and you guys have really stepped up to, you know, get right there really close. And while 2-6 looks bad, the games haven't looked bad.
Yeah, no, I think we're right there, you know. And ultimately, when it comes down late in the game and you lose those late games, you know, that's on the coach. And I think it's on me to making sure our team's disciplined defensively late, that we can run good offense late. Got to make our free throws, obviously, but I'll say this, you know, I've been here for a long time and we've had, you know, as an assistant coach and a couple times as a head coach, you know, not had some very good records and have teams kind of fold and pack it in. We had a really good day of preparation and focus today. I thought leading into the UNO game, obviously the Lamar game a couple of games ago, you know, you're seeing a team with not a great record, but a team that knows that they still control their own destiny. We still get to write the end of the story, and guys are still battling. And I think when you do things right every day and keep fighting, it's going to change. And, games like that just happen. And you're sitting there watching. I told our guys today, I watched Iowa State, Kansas yesterday. Iowa State's number two team in the country, and they're down 35 in, you know, middle of the second half. You know, sometimes things just happen. You got to be able to be tough and move on to the next thing. And I think our guys are really doing that. And I know winning's going to start happening.
Isaiah, I'll move on to you to talk about it. You've been other places from here. Obviously, this is your first year here, but you're an experienced basketball player. I don't know the experience you have with, you know, losing hard games like that, but obviously you've probably had some. From a player's perspective, what's the motivation to keep going there?
It's just, I like being in close games. It shows it's competitive. We keep getting right there, and it comes down to, like, small details, like making free throws and rebounding for the most part.
And I thought you, in the past few games, I thought you've, and I guess give credit to your guards and everybody moving the ball, I thought you've gotten to the paint a little bit easier, it seemed, and done a better job, and especially in the New Orleans game where you score, I think it was 18, and have a really good game. Just talk about, you know, the way you're looking down low to try to get to the paint. I know that's the, Coach Kiefer's talked about paint touches. Just talk about the looks on offense that you're getting.
Yeah, just being more aggressive. I feel like me being more aggressive can get other people open, so spread it out to my shooters. Yeah,
and talking about, you know, Lake Charles, Coach, that's a tough environment. We talked about tough environments all year.
Yeah.
But really, you talked about getting, you know, punching them in the mouth. You came out, and I don't necessarily think that the environment played too much of a role. I kind of feel like, you know, from, you know, looking at the players and looking at the bench, and, you know, I was on site in Lake Charles, it just seemed like you guys were really locked in that game. And it seems like as the season's gone on, this team has gotten more locked in.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, we had to deal with, you know, a little adversity. You lose Seth Jones. And then even going to the Lamar game, you know, CJ Booker rolls his ankle, still not 100% on that thing. Peter gets his flu, and guys just, you know, come in and step up. You don't have that from people that aren't locked in every day. They don't just magically have a good game if they're not locked in every day. And our guys have done that. And, you know, we're going to be right there every game, because I think our team defends. We compete. We're competitive. We don't have selfishness in our group.
And you can feel us getting better every single day. And it's going to start clicking. I know it is. And we talk about teams getting better or worse throughout the season. And I know from day one to now, we've gotten better. And it may not show that quite yet because of the record, but I've been doing this a really long time, and I know that it's going to start flipping because I'm with them every day, and I see, you know, I can see the competitive spirit. I see the details, the lock, and the notes that we're taking in film and just all the details. Guys, you know, Nazay was down there for an hour today running through all of our plays with one other guy just, you know, 3 hours before practice. Then he gets lifted, and then he gets shots before break. Then he stays after. So when you do that, good things are going to happen.
And, Coach, you obviously as the season goes on, you can either lose confidence or gain confidence. And something that I've seen with this team is where maybe, and I'll use Jaden Lawrence for an example. Yep. And in some situations, he would, you know, pass up shots, good looks. But it's starting to build confidence back up to take those shots. And you know he's a great shooter. Other people are doing the same thing. It feels like the confidence is growing, even though the record is going the opposite way. The confidence on the team is growing.
Yeah, I think it's just necessarily playing the right way, too. I think a little bit early in the season, you know, I think J-Law was pressing a little bit and hunting and looking for his shots. And just understanding who he is as a player and what his role is for our team. Obviously, Jaden's a scorer, and he can have games, big games, but Jaden's at his best when his mental focus is really sharp. He understands what's going on, and he's a defensive weapon for us. You know what I mean? He's just you want to have him as that ultimate glue guy, the guy that's going to go get the 50-50 balls, the guy's going to be able to guard the best player, a guy that's going to make the open shots, run the right plays, be positive. I think early in the season, he got outside of him a little self and wasn't doing those things that gave him such success, and you know, sometimes, you know, guys having to go through and sit in on the bench, that humbles you a little bit. And I think he went through that, and Jaden's got so much more mature and really grown as a man. And you're going to just see the best basketball for him starting here now.
And Isaiah, I'll move over to you. Talk about that New Orleans game. You had 18 points. And you didn't necessarily have the height advantage, but it seemed like you had the strength advantage. Is that something you thought you used well in that game?
Not that game. I was going into it thinking more use my finesse and stuff like that. But, yeah, I always try to use my strength for sure.
Yeah, and I thought you did a good job of getting to the basket. And that MJ Thomas is a tough guy to work on, mm-hmm. and obviously they've got Majok 7'4". So that's a tough game, but you were able to, you know, get to the paint. And we talked about paint touches all the time, and that's just a key part of the basketball game. And I thought you did a good job.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man.
Yeah, I think you know, with Zay's ability to, you know, and obviously he's got great length and great strength. You don't realize how strong he is until you're really out there. But he does a great job of being able to, you know, drive those bigs in tight spaces. He can finish left hand, right hand. He understands how to play. He understands angles and doing his work early. And he can step out and, you know, he steps out and makes a three last night. And he does that in practice every time. He's got a good-looking shot. So, you know, that's why we tried to get the ball in there. Because not only can he score it, he's a tremendous passer as well.
Yeah, and you kind of alluded to that big man three, and that's something you in the past few years you've had someone that could step out and shoot that three. And as mm-hmm. the year goes on, and you know guards start, you know that guard play is really tough. You get a shooter wide open like your center, they can knock down a shot. That's going to be big down the stretch.
Yeah, it really makes things different because now you're pulling their shot blocker, especially a team like UNO who's got all the shot blockers. Now all of a sudden you're taking him away from the rim. So now it's creating angles for your guards and, you know, creating other things for everybody else when you pull that big out from the rim. But we're not going to fall in love with that. You know, yeah. we're going to do it. But at the end of the day, Zay's bread and butter is right there around the rim taking guys to the basket. But I feel totally confident if he does step out there and shoot it because, you know, I know he works on it, and to me it looks good.
Someone else who's been building confidence over the season, Kyle Edison, I thought he's over the past three games has been really good defensively, but also something, too, that I've noticed is he's hyping his teammates up. He's, you know, getting active, calling out plays. When his situation at the beginning of the year, you know, whether it was minutes or whatever it was, a lot of players could have folded, but it seemed like Kyle Edison has really rose to the occasion.
Oh, no doubt. We just talked about Jaden Lawrence. I can throw him in the same basket. You know, Kyle had such a great summer coming in, and we had big things for him. And Kyle just, you know, some immaturity, I think, in the beginning of the year and some, you know, understanding role and just little things. That, and as of late, off the court, on the court, he's been so great. He's been great. He's been doing all the little things. He's locked in. You should just see the level of focus and calling out the actions, calling out scouting, or just all the little things. And because of that, you see the success in the court. Everybody's seen the flashes, but we also saw the flashes of the bad, too. Then it's just being consistent with everything, and he's been so consistent. You can watch defensively. We all know what he's always done and the effort that he's got. But now the poise that he's playing with offensively, too, the extra passes and really playmaking with the ball and his ability to make shots is a huge piece. And I think you're going to see him continue to soar off, too. He's really matured this season and is becoming a big weapon for our team for sure.
And talking about weapons, Isaiah, I'll talk to you about it. You guys, a few games in a row, have come out with a big lineup. You've got Mekhi Miles and Jeremy Eliezer next to you on the wing. Just talk about what it's like having those guys next to you that can take some more of those beatings that you don't have to get down the lane every single time.
Yeah, it just brings more versatility on defense. Mekhi, he erases a lot of shots. Like, yeah, so that's great having him.
For sure. And then, Coach, will talk about the UNO game and, you know, getting out early, and there was a lot of free throws, and there was a lot of foul trouble. Talk about how, you know, getting in early foul trouble kind of just takes the flow out of the offense.
Yeah, just one of the weirdest games I think I've ever been a part of is for my coaching career. I mean, I think there was like 60 fouls and, you know, almost 70-something free throws, you know, both or 78 free throws and almost 60 fouls. You know, it just never felt like you could get into a rhythm. And I thought the inconsistencies of how it was called and really – you know, no excuse. We missed 13, 14 free throws and made our own mistakes, so it's not the referee's fault. But I just thought it was very, very inconsistent. And when you're going to call every single hand check, a physical team that is very aggressive full court, like that obviously hurts us more because we're trying to bring the physicality. And, you know, you talk about UNO who goes into the game, and supposedly Jakavian Buckley was kicked off the team. So when they come in and they don't have the amount of guard play and you want to, you know, force your will upon them, and you kind of just feel like every time you touch, there's going to be foul. It kind of, you know, you don't have the same aggressiveness that you would naturally have because you're worried about fouling. So, you know, that kind of bothered us a little bit, but still no excuse. I think, you know, we did everything that, you know, you look at that stat sheet, you know, I think 19 or 20 offensive rebounds. You know, we beat them with points in the paint. We beat them with guys coming off the bench. I think, you know, we defended for the most part, like, you know, every shot Benson made, I think, was contested. You know, just think we battled. I think we fought. We were able to overcome the early run that they made when they got up on us. You know, all signs were pointing us first. When we got to finish with making free throws, we got a defensive rebound in the basketball. You know, in the first half, I didn't think we did a very good job at all. They were really offensive rebound. I thought we kind of shut that down in the second half. But, you know, we can't have lulls like that. We're not finishing plays. I think we're too good of a defensive team not to finish plays better.
Man, it's so interesting to talk about that game because you talked about it defensively. You guys, you know, closed out well on the three. They just made a lot of shots. They nailed their free throws. But Coach Hollowell talked about it in the post game. He thought you guys outplayed them as far as the game was concerned. And so just it got some praise from the other side as it was a good game if it was allowed to be a good game. And that's what I said on broadcast. It was kind of just where the goodness of the game was taken away from you guys.
Yeah, and you know, and stuff happens like that, and ultimately we can do one of two things. We can complain and feel sorry for ourselves, or we can just move on to the next play. And I think I've never seen them, you know, wave off the conference, never came back and said, we didn't call that right. We're going to give Southeastern the win. It's never happened before, so we can sit here and complain about it, or we can move on and get ready for Corpus and treat that game like it's the Super Bowl, and that's what we're going
to
do.
And on the way to Corpus, a long road trip, but road trips don't necessarily seem so bad when you're not in school. So talk about it. So the last road trip before school starts back, you get to go on a trip, have maybe a little bit of a break, but it's two tough games on the road.
Yeah, and I've talked about this before, and some of the few people listening might not be too excited about it, but we relish playing on the road, and our teams, you know, especially going to the non-conference, all of our games are on the road anyway, and sometimes the energy at home, you know, it's understandable when we haven't been winning, but we kind of like us against the world mentality, and it kind of feed off some of that negative energy from the crowd. And you know, we're looking forward to get on the road. This is a two game swing last year that kind of, you know, left a bad taste in our mouth. This was the last two games of the season last year, and you know, we didn't like how we finished there, and we're looking forward to get down there.
And Isaiah, obviously going on the road as a player, talk about your preparation for a road trip. You know, it's a lot different than just leaving your apartment and going to show up for shoot around.
Yeah, I just made sure I got everything. My pillow, and my blanket pack.
What's your go-to snack?
Go-to snack.
It's a tough question. I put him on the spot.
I like ice cream.
Ice cream on the road. I love it. I love it. Well, Coach, we're excited. We're excited to, for the games this weekend, an opportunity to get some wins. And hopefully we see you guys come up with the victory. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back here on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
Appreciate it.
We'll be right back on Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System.
University Donuts is a proud supporter of Southeastern Athletics in the Lyon community. University Donuts offers breakfast and lunch options weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. and weekends from 6:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. Located less than 1 mile from campus at 1215 West University Avenue, University Donuts is available by phone at area code 985-542-1588 or online at facebook.com/universitydonuts. University Donuts, proud to support your Southeastern Lions. Lion up!
Hampton and Hammond is a proud supporter of Lyon Athletics and the Southeastern Sports Radio Network. Hampton and Hammond is located 3 miles from Southeastern Louisiana University at 401 Weston Oaks Drive. The Hampton and Hammond offers 81 rooms and features Wi-Fi, a fitness center, an outdoor pool, and hot breakfast options. More information on Hampton and Hammond is available at area code 985-419-2188. The Hampton and Hammond, proud supporter of Lyon Athletics and this broadcast on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.
All right, before we get out of here for the week, let's take a quick look at what's ahead on the calendar. The Lady Lions return to the court Thursday evening in Edinburgh, Texas, against UTRGV. Tip-off is slated for 6:30 p.m. Friday, the track and field program gets their 2026 season underway, competing in the LSU Purple Tiger Meet in Baton Rouge. And Saturday, both of our basketball programs travel to Corpus Christi, Texas, for a Southland Conference doubleheader against the Islanders of Texas A&M Corpus Christi. The Lady Lions tip at 1 p.m., and the men are slated to follow at 3:30 p.m. Now, the men will then head down to Edinburgh Monday for a 6:30 p.m. game time at UTRGV. Now, all the basketball games can be heard right here on KSLU 90.9 The Lyon, online at either lionsports.net/listenlive or lionupradio.org via the following apps: the Lions Game Day Experience, Live 365, iHeart, Odyssey, TuneIn, and MyTuner Radio. Or on your Alexa speaker. All you need to do is enable the skill first and then say, Alexa, play KSLU. For Tyler Thomas, I'm Damon Sundy. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Inside Southeastern Athletics, presented by North Oaks Health System. If you missed any part of it, the show will be archived online at both lionupradio.org and lionsports.net. Don't forget you can join us here each Wednesday at 5 p.m. on the Southeastern Sports Radio Network.